Mishnah Tet, the ninth Mishnah in our Perek, goes on to discuss, well, it's depending on how we understand the previous Mishnah, it either goes on to discuss rabbinically prohibited mixtures, or it goes on to discuss examples of biblically prohibited mixtures. So again, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, it may be that you need shua, tavuya, and noz, and if you don't have all those three, then it's not an iser d'oraisa of shatness, in which case Mishnah Tet, as we'll see in a minute, is discussing various treatments of fabrics that are nonetheless a rabbinically prohibited treatment, a rabbinic iser of kilayim. However, according to the Rambam and those who hold that any one of the three are in and of themselves an iser d'oraisa of kilayim, so then Mishnah Tet is giving examples of these iseri d'oraisa, on any one of the three. So, to be clear, in either situation, the Mishnah we're about to learn, there is an Isser of Kilayim. It's a bit of a debate about whether it's an Isser Dorabanan or Doraisa. Okay, Mishnah Tet. Vava'adim asurim ipnei shehem shuim. So, felts are forbidden because they are carded. Pivshot semer b'shel pishtan asurim ipnei shehem chozrin ka'arig. A border of wool on linen is forbidden because it surrounds the weave. Rabbi Yossi says, "Meshichot shel argaman asurot mipnei shehu molel ad shelo kosher." Rabbi Yossi says that belts of purple wool are forbidden because he bathes them before tying. Lo yikshur seret shel tzemer b'shel pishtan lechagor bo es masnav af al pi shartzua emtsa. So our Mishnah concludes, our ninth Mishnah concludes, it is forbidden to tie a strip of wool to a strip of linen to gird his waist, even though the leather strap is in the middle. So what do we have here? So in the first case, right, by creating felt, you take different fibers and you push them together. So you have a tangle of flax and wool, and you felt them together by pushing them all down, by carding them. So then either it's going to be a rabbinic prohibition of kilayim or an iser d'oraisa of kilayim. The second part of the Mishnah discusses a border of wool on linen. And usually what happened is when one finished a garment, it was the practice of the weaver to add a border of three or four really thick threads as reinforcement, to keep the whole thing from falling apart. And even though they weren't woven with the garment, they were sort of inserted at the weave near the edge. And our Mishnah states that if the garment is linen, it is forbidden to insert border threads of wool, even though the wool is not actually woven together with the linen. Rav Yossi, continuing the Mishnah, is concerned about belts of purple wool. Normally, if you had a wool belt and a linen robe, there should be really no problem tying the woolen belt around the robe because there's no iser involved, right? You're not tying them. They're mamish not connected to each other. However, Rav Yossi says that in these cases, I guess because the purple is more, maybe people were more careful with it or more careful with that type of belt or whatever, but they would base them. So what would happen is they would basically loosely stitch the belt onto the robe. So even though it's not a permanent connection, it is enough of a connection to render them usher because of shatness. And in that same theme, the Mishnah concludes that it's forbidden to tie a strip of wool to a strip of linen to gird his waist, even though the leather strap is in the middle. So again, if a leather strap has woolen strips connected to one of its ends, which is linen, and linen strips connect on the other end, and then you're going to use it as a belt, there it is usher. Because you really are constituting kilayim by getting benefit from the belt keeping your robe closed. So again, in the case of a woolen belt and a linen robe, there is no problem because they're not connected, unless of course they're basted. And here the concern is that because you are using wool and linen together to make a belt, that there is going to be the isra of kilayim. On the heels of Mishnah Tet, we have our very final Mishnah in Perek Kilayim, and this Mishnah continues to push a little bit the idea of what can constitute Kilayim. In other words, the Mishnah discusses how many stitches are needed for two cloths which have been sewn together to be connected under biblical law. Okay, so again, we saw sort of previously in the previous Mishnah this idea of, well, what if you have a belt loosely tied to your robe, what have you. Here we're going to examine that a little bit further. So our Mishnah starts, Otot hagardin, ve'otot hakosim asurot mishum kilayim. So labels of weavers and labels of launderers are forbidden because of kilayim. Hatokhef tekiva echat inan chibur ve'im ba mishum kilayim ve'ashom to v'shabbat patur. So our Mishnah continues that if someone thrusts a needle, a single thrust or a single stitch, this is not a connection and does not count as kilayim, and someone who undoes it on the Shabbos is patur, right, is exempt. Asa shnei rosheha letzad echad chibur v'yesh bo mishum kilayim shom to v'shabbat chayav. If, however, its two ends are brought to the same side, this is a connection, it counts as kilayim, and someone who undoes it on the Shabbos is liable. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad she shalesh. Rabbi Yehuda says until he triples it, and that's when it's going to be relevant. And the Mishnah concludes, hasach v'hakupa mitzarfin l'kilayim. The sack and the wicker box combine for kilayim. So we'll understand that, of course, in a minute. Okay, so... Our Mishnah starts by explaining that, you know, when you would take, I guess, a piece of clothing in to get it sewn up, or you take a piece of clothing in to get it washed, you know, even in this day and age, if you go to a good laundromat, a good, you know, dry cleaner, they'll iron a tiny little tag onto somewhere inside your shirt, so that, you know, they'll keep track of whose shirts it were. It used to be, I guess, that they did the same thing even in the times of the Mishnah, and they would sew a little tag into your clothing. So in a situation where you had wool clothing with linen stitching or linen clothing with wool stitching, and in those situations, even though the lettering is not an integral part of the garment, and even though the owner doesn't care, right, the owner doesn't particularly want it, it is usher for the garment to be worn until one removes the shotness. Okay, the second part of the Mishnah discusses the idea of someone thrusting a needle in a single thrust, and it doesn't count as a connection, and it doesn't count as kilayim. So again, if you think about it, when you're sewing, you kind of need to make a U, right? When you make a stitch, a needle penetrates cloth twice, right? Once is going down, and once is going, or you know, in, and one is going out, right? However, if you were to push the needle through once, then the two items would be attached, right? If you take two pieces of cloth, and you punch a needle through the two pieces together, then technically they're connected, right? I mean, they're not a stitch, you wouldn't be able to wear it, but technically they're connected. So in a situation like that, it doesn't count as a kilayim. And this principle also applies on Shabbat, right? If you undo stitching in order to re-sew something, it's usher on Shabbos, under the isser of tearing something. However, if you're undoing a single thrust, right, if you're just basically pulling the thread out without undoing anything, the person is going to be exempt from any punishment. However, our Mishnah explains that if the two ends are brought to the same side, right, if you have that U, if you have a full stitch, then it does count as kilayim, and anybody who undoes that stitch on Shabbos is chayav for being over, Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda is a little more makel in this regard. He's like, look, yeah, technically it's true. You make your little U through two pieces of material. Maybe they're being held together, but really it's not until you sort of really do a stitch and a half, right, that you really can say that these materials are connected. So again, it's true that a full stitch is certainly sturdier than a half stitch, but if one were to ask you, would you sooner go out in public with something with a half stitch, a full stitch, or a stitch and a half, I think we'd all agree that we'd want, the clothing that was more securely, connected. So Rabbi Yehuda just says that until you've trebled it, which is a stitch and a half, there's no issur of kilayim, and there is no prohibition of undoing it on Shabbat. The Rambam understands the end of our mission, this idea of the sack and the wicker box. He understands that in a situation where you have linen and wool stuffed inside a sack or a wicker box, okay, together, then even though technically they aren't sewn up at all, right, so this is like sort of the reverse of previously, where we saw a half stitch maybe isn't enough, maybe a full stitch is enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need a stitch and a half. Here, the Rambam is saying, listen, the end of the mission is coming to conclude that as long as you have a bag holding linen and wool together, then you would not be allowed, then that would be considered kilayim if you were to carry this sack on your back. So again, the idea being that, it seems to be what is keeping these two items together. Well, what constitutes keeping these two items together? A half a stitch is not enough to say that we're really holding the two items together. A stitch probably is. A stitch and a half certainly is. And as long as linen and wool are in a sack together and they can't just spill out, then that would also constitute key lime, you know, vis-a-vis carrying it on your shoulder or some such. Again, there's no problem with, you know, putting wool and linen in a bag and having it sit on the floor, right? Remember, key lime really has to do with clothing. It has to do with wearing it or carrying it or getting some benefit from it. So again, it's not that there's some kind of biblical prohibition against putting wool and linen in a bag together, a sack together, or a box together. You would just have to be concerned about picking up that sack and carrying it on your shoulder. And that brings us to the end of Masechet Kilayim. I hope you enjoyed.